went into the hospital and why he chose hospitalization as opposed to the other options.
Well, Jeff got off the line. Maybe he can sneak back in. However, the board is full, but if he does get back in, we'll try to get him to answer those questions. Okay, you're on Open Mind tonight. Who are we talking to?
Oh, hi, my name's Allison, and I'm 17. Like, I've been having these experiences when I sleep, see? Like, I speak like a different language or something, and it sounds like Hebrew or Arabic or something like that. And I was wondering if you could tell me what that might be.
Well.
Okay, at times, different energies can come through your system, and sometimes they're hard to interpret. Sometimes they come through in other languages or feelings that are not familiar to you. And at that point, it's useful to ask your inner voice inside what this is so that you can get some direction rather than just get the information that doesn't make much sense to you and just let that be. Are you familiar with talking to your intuitive voice, your inner voice?
Well, no, because it happens when I sleep. So my mom's the only one who's ever heard me.
Uh-huh, so you don't have a conscious awareness of it?
No, I don't.
Okay, what you can do is before you go to sleep, ask for an explanation of this language in your dreams. And you can, through lucid dreaming, find out what is going on here. But you have to ask with a pure intention before you go to sleep to get information about this. And then remember your dreams for the next week or two and try and make some sense out of it.
Okay.
All right, Allison?
Thank you.
All right. Try that and see how it works.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, very good.
Bye.
And you're on Open Mind tonight. Who are we talking to? Hello there.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Yeah, this is Jim.
Hello, Jim.
Yeah, what I would like to ask you is, they were talking about grounding. What is their suggestions for grounding?
There are many ways to get grounding, and first of all, it's very important to be grounded if you're going to be dealing with this type of material and these experiences. So I think it's a really good question. First of all, grounding means being connected to the earth or being connected to your physical world and not just being in a spiritual world or a psychic world. And being grounded means connecting with all of the practical things in your life, paying your rent, going to the bank, going to your job, doing very black and white things in order to function here in the physical world. It means connecting with the earth, being with the earth in certain environments like the mountains and just getting in touch with the earth itself. What Russell mentioned before was physical activity and being in a very good state of physical health so that your physical integrity is high so you can deal with any energies that come towards you. Does that give you a clearer picture?
Yes. Well, I was glad to hear it because many people are always talking about all these things and nobody hardly ever mentions about grounding.
Uh-huh.
And me being I work as a reflexologist.
Oh, you do?
And I find a lot of people that are not grounded. And I was just wondering, and I'd like to heard your professional explanation of this, which I enjoyed you hearing. And I wanted to thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Jim, for checking in with us.
You bet. Bye-bye.
People are interested in this matter of grounding and shielding, and I think it's becoming more and more a part of the consciousness of a lot. Hello, you're on Open Mind.
Hello, my name is Lydia.
Hi, Lydia.
Hi. About 2 years ago, I had a very peculiar dream. I dreamt that there was this big, bright light coming down towards me, and I was looking up, and at that time, I had had problems with my marriage, and I started a new business, and I was very confused. So as I looked up at the light, it kept coming closer, and I wanted to ask questions, and I knew that there was someone there. And as I tried to ask the questions, what was I going to do, it just started to shake his head, spread out his arms, and said, it's done. It would not let me talk. It just said it was done.
Did you ever find out what was done?
Well, my life. In other words, whatever I was planning, whatever was in my life, it was already done. It was already predestined. That's the impression I got.
I think that was a very wise teaching that came through in your dream.
Really?
It wasn't what you had expected, but it was certainly the truth.
Uh-huh. Well, I felt very peaceful when I woke up. when I realized what I had dreamt, because then later on I've asked some psychics about it. They said that was God coming through me, and that was very rare that people would dream of that. That was very special.
Yes, it was very special, and I would suspect that your dreams are very special, and to really explore that in yourself and use that as a resource for yourself, for your own growth.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you. Bye.
And we have, who do we have on the line here?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, this is Bobby.
Hello, Bobby.
Yes, good evening. I'd like to know, I had a problem. I was told that I had asthma, and I had gotten two opinions that were confirmed it, you know? Two doctors had confirmed it. And also, when I went to the hospital the other night to confirm it, I was in a state of, it seems like people were talking slower, and it seems like at that time I was talking slower, I was getting ringing in the ears, and I was getting, my taste buds were dulling, you know? And it was really a strange situation I had never experienced before. And another thing, I'm blind. And another thing, when I was younger, especially when I was a child, I would wake up, it could be 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and it would look like the sun would be shining bright in the window from my bed, you know what I mean? And this was really, really strange. Does that sound unusual?
How did that feel when you felt the light shining on you?
It felt like the sun was actually shining. I could see light a little bit, you know. It looked like the sunlight was shining on me. I could even feel the heat a little bit, you know. And
but it was 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, as a matter of fact.
Were you blind from birth?
Yeah, I'm premature. I'm an incubator baby.
We've done experiments with blind people and found that they can do surprisingly good what I would call remote viewing, though it's not exactly viewing.
Mm-hmm.
The fellow that we worked with most extensively was able to describe the world as he experiences it.
Yeah.
We did our same familiar experiment. We would hide a person someplace in the San Francisco area,
mm-hmm,
and ask this, with a blind psychologist, to describe where the other person was.
Mm-hmm.
He would not say, "I see a green fence in front of a brick building."
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way he experiences it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I feel that he's walking along uneven ground. There's soft material on the left, and now he's going up a little ramp, and now he's going inside of a building, and there's a lot of confusion."
Yeah.
And I asked him my typical kind of question, "Well, how do you feel about this building?" He said, "The unusual thing about this building is that once you're inside, it's the kind of building you want to get out of as fast as possible."
Oh.
And the target was a police station.
Incredible.
So even though this man, of course, had never done this particular kind of remote viewing before, but he immediately understood how we wanted him to experience things and describe things, and he did very well indeed. So we think that it's not necessary to be able to see in order to do remote viewing. You can experience the world in a variety of different ways.
Well, you know what I found out also, that I've been told by people that I can see a lot clearer than people that can see with the physical eye.
What sort of things do you see?
You know, like things that can happen, you know, in the near future sometimes, and I'll be right, you know. Not in the distance, in the far future, you know what I'm saying?
Let me describe something that you might find interesting to
sure.
do. People
mm-hmm.
have been asking us how they can develop their ability. This
mm-hmm.
might be something that you can do with a friend and you might find interesting or fun.
Mm-hmm.
Get a friend to select some ordinary object and not tell you about it, and you then try and describe what properties this object has.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not to name the object, but to say whether it's long and thin or heavy or cold or flexible or heavy or what other properties it might be, and then immediately have your friend hand you the object so that you can experience it. And with this kind of feedback, you can learn to tell which of your impressions are psychically derived.
Oh.
And in our experience, working with a person giving you this kind of feedback, you can learn to do surprisingly well at experiencing distant objects or objects in boxes or the world around you, even though in ordinary experiments it would be hidden in a box. In your case, that probably wouldn't be necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason people don't do this all the time is that vision works much more reliably than psychic functioning.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much higher data rate than you can get through ESP.
Yeah.
But in a case where you don't have vision confusing you, you might find that you can learn very swiftly to make use of this ability to experience the world around you. And the reason you may not have done that already is that you really need the immediate feedback of saying, I think you're holding something square, and then be handed the object or told that's affirmative so you can get the experience and learn how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if a person were deaf, even though they had a piano in the room with them, they'd never learn to play because they don't get the feedback from hitting the right notes. But I think that if you find a pal to work with you, you could learn to do surprisingly well, and it might even be a useful skill for you to learn.
But, Doctor, couldn't a deaf person play by sight for people I can hear?
He might learn to do something, but it would be a skill that you would have to find some way to give him feedback on.
Well, you know, my opinion is, of course, being blind, is that if you believe something is going to happen to you, that will happen to you. It will happen to you, you know. If you don't believe, like, for example, I believe I would never get, you know, killed or anything like that on the street, you know, and all. Walking down the street, I don't care what time, day or night it is, because I don't believe in staying in the house, because I believe I'm, you know, I'm, of course, I don't let criminals keep me a criminal in the house, you know what I mean? And I believe that I would never get mugged or killed or anything like that. So I always go out all the time, and I always say to myself, it's not going to happen anyway, you know, and if it did happen, it happened, that's all, you know. But my opinion is that not going to let people control me, you know what I'm saying?
I think it's a good idea not to. Bobby, thank you very much for your input tonight.
Could I give you one more thing?
Make it quick.
Okay, I had a dream one night that I had died, and I dreamt I was floating, like, and I was not in anything. I was just floating in not even air, you know what I'm saying? And this was a dream that I had had one night, and I could touch my, you know, my arms, like, you know, I couldn't, you know, actually feel my arm, you know, when I was touching it, but I could feel my hand on the skin of it, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I had dreamed this, and I woke up, and it was a shock. It was after my father had passed away, as a matter of fact.
I think one thing very important to remember about death is that it's a metaphor for transformation. And oftentimes in dreams, when you have dreams about death, it's not talking about necessarily a physical death, but perhaps a transformation at your own point of development at that time.
Okay, Bobby?
Okay, Bill. Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. With me tonight is Dr. Russell Targ, Dr. Judith Orloff, and we're talking about psychic functioning. Dr. Judith Orloff. Russell, a lot of people have wondered what they can do and how they can improve their psychic abilities. You have an event coming on in San Francisco later. I guess it's early next year. What's happening up there?
We're having a two-day workshop, which will be the second and third weekend in March, March 9th and March 16th, for two weekends, exploring the nature and the uses of psychic functioning. Many people have been calling up this evening asking how they can develop psychic abilities, where they can learn what's going on. But we're having a pair of workshops dealing with those issues. If people are interested in learning more about the two workshops in San Francisco, they should write to Bay Research Institute, 1550 California Street in San Francisco. And we will send them information about our weekend workshops.
And something, you know, if you feel like what you want to get into, you're dealing with some of the top researchers in the country in the field, Dr. Targ, and I guess Keith will be up there too.
Keith Harari and Charles Tart.
So some real heavyweights, and this is something that perhaps you want to plan on. Certainly write them up there and get all of the information. We're going to our callers. We have, who do we have on the line here?
Dick.
Hello, Dick.
Hello. I want to make sure I have my this thing not blowing in your, blasting your ears. Good evening, Bill and distinguished guest. Is this good enough, the amplification?
Go right ahead.
Okay. I don't want to be told I'm talking too loud. I got it way underneath my chin here.
Okay.
I'm going to touch a little bit on, before I get my main question out, on a few of the things. The one doctor wanted to ask Jeff, I think it was a while back, why he submitted himself to such things as, I'll just go right down to the basics, Thorazine, Haldol, everything else. Well, I have experiences in my life, too. I also, when my final question of the doctors, if they have a knowledge of what I am right or wrong, whether I am right or wrong about it or not, I have submitted myself a couple of times to that to prove to myself. Most of my revelations and so forth and my experiences have not come in a, I would say maybe a couple of them have been in a semi-subconscious mind, but never in a dream. The next thing, the experimentation or so forth and so on is going on. We all know that this is going on. I think the doctor, there's not too much I can say because I'm in a catch 22 sort of, and I cannot let everything out. But anyway, the other thing about the grounding, well, we used to be taught in the military that that was drawing a happy medium. I like to say it that way. And the other thing is that I think there's a bigger war going on in this world than we all are being told about. And it is our former and our present, if I may excuse the word of saying it that way, enemies, still enemies, or should be, at least we should be aware at all times that we don't have anything happen again that happened before in the past, have been actually assigning agents to people that are known to have these abilities that we are all discussing this evening or relating different experiences. And this is my main question. Are you, distinguished guest and Bill, aware of the fact that there is such a, what do you want to say, an underhand Watergate cover-up or whatever kind of name you want to give to it, that it is actually going on? There is a lot of this ability being, as it's developed, and practice makes perfect as far as improvement is concerned, naturally, being ripped off, so to speak, by agents that are assigned one-on-one. Foreign governments, this has been going on, I've discovered, since at least 1953, and certain revelations that I were given, I actually have heard stories before on your program, Bill, of people. I think there's one lady that gets, her hands will move to the music that is being given to her, and so forth and so on. Well, this experience did happen to me in 1965. I immediately gave it to the U.S. Air Force Surgeon General and to the President at that time, within a few years period, or within that span of time there. And the evidence I got back in to receive back proof of, you know, I wouldn't send something off just not without getting some kind of proof that they received it at the other end. But it looked to me like someone intercepted it and just gave me a rubber stamp instead of a actual documentation. And that's why I've been suspicious ever since at least 1974. But I woke up to the fact in overseas in the Orient in 1953.
I would say that we've talked to a lot of people who have very good quality psychic functioning. And from what we have found, these people are...
You're going to have to turn... Hey, Dick?
That's not me.
There you go. Go ahead, Wilson.
That wasn't me. I'm holding my hand over my mouth.
Okay.
We really haven't encountered any evidence that people are being interfered with who practice psychic functioning. We've seen a lot of people who are able to do excellently over long periods of time, over decades in our research, and we find that they can do very well. They can teach other people. So I think you have an expanding network of people who can do psychic functioning in America who are just doing very well without foreign interference.
Okay, Dick, I tell you, we've got a little problem of feedback, I think, because of your... Okay. Thank you very much, Dick. Appreciate that. It was an interesting story. I think you were probably talking a little bit about Project Grill Flame, as is revealed in Jack Anderson's column. Okay, who do we have on here?
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I finally decided to call in. I've heard your broadcast on several occasions.
What's your name, please?
My name is Stephen.
Okay, Stephen.
And basically, I guess I've been aware to at least a fair extent that I've always had some type of ability to look beyond today. I'm not, and probably a lot of it is rationalization. And then I began to believe that probably I have some type of sensitivity to that is not picked up by the generally by people. I'd like to give you one specific incident that happened in my life. I had two dreams. I'm going to tell you about one of them. I had two dreams that came true to the nth detail. The dream that was the most important of the two, it wasn't earth-shattering. It didn't affect the world in any sense. It didn't affect other people's lives in any sense. But it was a dream that it involved figures. I dreamt about two horses, which is not unusual because about that time my family had horses, and I've had horses in my lifetime that I've raced. And I dreamt, but I was fairly young at the time, and I dreamt I was at the racetrack, and I dreamt that about this first race that had gone off and the horse had won, and I dreamt about the second race that had gone off and the horse had won. And when I woke up in the morning, I couldn't differentiate between the fact that I was awake and not at the racetrack. The dream was so clear and vivid in my mind that I had written down the figures. The figures I had written down were those figures that were posted on the tote board, showing what the horse paid for win, place, and show for each horse. And in the and not only that, I dreamt exactly how the horse ran the race. And in the second race, which was a mile and a 16th, opposed to the first race, which was a 6-furlong race, I dreamt that the horse had faltered at the gate and got off very poorly and made up a lot of ground and just won of the last jump at the end of the race. And I wrote the figures down, and I gave them to a couple of friends of mine, members of the family as well. And that they sort of laughed at it, and I sort of laughed at it in a sense myself, because who could ever dream that six sets of figures to the dime would come true?
Well, you did.
I did. The races were won exactly as I dreamt them, and exactly as I explained in the air to you, and the horses paid exactly to the dime what the pari-mutuel payoffs were. And to have that come true, it would be impossible to know how many attendants would be at the track that day, anybody knows about pari-mutuel betting, because every time you make a bet, it goes into a pool, and then the amount of money that is bet is divided up into that pool.
So have you tried any of that since your dream?
Pardon?
Have you done any further things with that since your dream?
Not really.
It would be nice to try and get that under control so that you could do it without a dream. For example, you might try it in a meditation and see if you can bring it under control and harness the ability.
I mean, it was somewhat frightening to me when the experience was over with the next day when I was at the track.
What were you frightened of?
Well, I mean, one doesn't go about dreaming what tomorrow's newspaper ads, headlines are going to be.
If one does, one is very fortunate.
Well, I would say so. But this involved figures, and what was more disturbing is not like one can always dream about a horse race, and one can dream that a horse wins a race, and that's not uncommon because it's on your mind, and the chance of that horse winning.
But you got the pari-mutuel Senate too. That was.
But that was a thing that bothered me.
Very precise precognitive work there.
That's right. I've done.
Do you have a question for Russell or for Judith?
Well, I've done a lot of psychiatric counseling, and I found that the perception of what I would see with people helped me to help them in resolving a lot of their problems. And I've also had a lot of premonitions, and I can't attribute to it being premonition or just damn right logic.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it seems logical that something is not going right or going amiss, and it does go amiss. So maybe it's a combination of the two. Finally, a friend of mine, I was discussing with them the other day.
I need to ask you to wrap it up here.
Finally said, you should really try to seek out somebody who could help you develop these abilities or at least find out more about them. And I've tried to find out somebody in the phone book, or, and there's nobody that I seem to know that knows of anybody in that particular field.
You might try the conference that Dr. Targ and Keith Harari will be conducting next March up in San Francisco. And,
well, I was thinking about that. Hopefully
okay.
that I'd be available for that. I wonder if anybody could send me some information at my address.
Well,
why don't you write to us at 1550 California Street in San Francisco, and we'll send you something.
1515 California Street,
no,
is it code?
1550.
1550, I'm sorry.
Right. Yes, California, San Francisco, and that's all you need.
And the zip code?
And you're writing to Bay Research Institute.
No zip code. Okay, Bobby, or Stephen?
No zip code, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you very kindly.
We'll be back in a moment.
Right.
Make it very, very short. Who do we have on now? Hello.
Hi, this is Edson.
Hi,
I'll make this very quick. Since your guests are based in San Francisco, would they know about what the establishment now calls non-contact therapy, NCTT, at UC San Francisco, is conducted by sociologist Inga Corliss on AIDS patients? Laying on of hands, in other words. Psychic healing.
Don't know anything about that specific program. I'm based in Los Angeles, not San Francisco.
Oh.
Yeah, Russell is based up in San Francisco.
I see. Uh-huh. If anybody wants this, I'll send it to you, Mr. Jenkins.
All right, you can go ahead and send that to me, but there are people up there involved in psychic healing and they're working with AIDS patients. Is that what you think?
That's what it says right here at UC San Francisco. It's from the Medical World News, July 22nd, 1985. And it's an establishment study now saying that laying on of hands is valid and that electromagnetic fields, life force is involved.
Well, certainly there's increasing interest in various kinds of touch therapy and touch assist. There have been articles in a variety of magazines and people getting credentialed in this kind of therapy. I don't know how efficacious it is, but I know it's getting a new legitimacy and people are being trained in it.
Mm-hmm. So it does have a validity and not just...
Well, some if they're doing it up there at UC in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Edson, thank you very much for that call. And our time there is gone. And the midnight hour, the witching hour, has moved upon us again. I want to thank you, Judith, you, Russell, for joining us for a very enlightening night tonight on Open Mind. Appreciate it very much. We'll go into some scientific reasons for and how to increase your psychic ability next week with Pete Sanders. I hope you join me then. I'm Bill Jenkins.
Happy Celebration 25!